But I'm excited to share the word with you today, and I want to talk about I Will Follow is really the topic of my message. But to start off, just by sharing a short story of a kindergarten teacher who was walking around her classroom while her students began to draw pictures. And she noticed one little girl really intent and scribbling, you know, just furious, you know, just like going at it. And so the teacher stopped to inquire, you know, what are you drawing, you know? And the little girl said, a picture of Jesus. And the teacher said, oh, honey, nobody really knows exactly what Jesus looks like. And without missing a beat, the little girl looks up to the teacher and says, they will in a minute. So on that note, I want to pray. Lord, this morning I do pray that you would help us with the ideas of who we think you are. Lord, that you would do a wellness check in our hearts of where we are at. And Lord, that our hearts would be moldable, pliable, movable. Holy Spirit, that you would blow like a fresh wind, Lord, and remove the things that have no value, no substance. And Lord, that we would be like Samuel this morning when he was learning as a young boy to hear your voice. I pray that right now, right in this moment, right now, you would release a childlikeness where, like Samuel, he says, I'm here, your servant's listening. Speak, your servant's listening. And Lord, I just pray every heart right now open to your presence, open to your voice. Lord, that you would truly direct our lives and that you'd help me communicate your heart today. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, there is a constant theme when you look at Jesus' life, and some phrases are repeated over and over. And one of those phrases is, follow me. Or you see people saying, I will follow you. And I want to focus in on that. What does it really look like to follow Jesus? What was meant by him saying, follow me? It was more than just being behind him. He wasn't just going after to get some groupies to follow behind so he looks like a cool dude. He was saying, I want you to be in relationship with me. When I talk about follow me, it means to be on the same road with, going the same direction as. It says, I want our hearts to be in communion. And the picture is that Jesus gives is like the yoke. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, let's yoke together as oxen that are working. And so one of us, Jesus, is carrying the weight and teaching the other, the disciple, teaching the other oxen the way to go and how to go about it. And so Jesus is saying, I want you to be in yoke with me, in union with me. I want you to be along with the same mission, the same heart, carry the same heart that I have. So follow me. And that's really where we open up this chapter in Luke chapter 9. We see that Jesus is headed to Jerusalem and he's meeting disciples along the way, followers along the way. And we have really three applicants in this passage. God loves threes. You'll see so much in the scripture in threes. And here we have three applicants that are either willing or God's inviting to follow him. And so let's read in verses 57 through 62 this morning. It says this, now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. And Jesus said to him, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. Verse 61. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. All right. Challenging statements here. Let's get into it today. So the three applicants, the first one we have is the impulsive follower. The one who starts to make bold statements, bold declarations. I will follow you wherever you go. Jesus, I've seen the miracles, I've seen the crowds, and I am in. Booyah. Right? Y'all awake this morning? I know you had an extra hour, so you should be awake, but The preaching of Christ had riveted him. It had charmed his heart. He's such enthusiasm has been kindled. And I can't imagine there not being enthusiasm when you're around Jesus, around perfect love, around this healer. I mean, just imagine the inspiration that you would have, that you'd be like, I want to be with him. I want to be all in. And he is so bold in his enthusiasm. He's thinking, I'm going wherever you're going. I want to be wherever you are, Lord. I'm going to, you know, doesn't matter. I'm in. I mean, look at all these Jesus followers. I mean, they're good looking people. Well, I mean, give me a high five, Jesus follower. Come on. We're in this together. Oh my gosh, in this crowd. Woo, with the people. Let's go after Jesus. Let's go. Woo, yeah. Get into Jesus. Pastor John's going to be Jesus this morning. And you can't be Jesus without a maroon thing of some sort. All right. Put it on, John. All right, Jesus, I want to go wherever you go. Okay, so I have these ideas. Wait, Jesus, I have these great ideas. So your cousin, you know, JB, John the Baptist, he was like really, you know, saying like Lamb of God stuff, like declaring Lamb of God. But I thought I have some really good ideas. We can like reframe that. Things that might really catch on, and I'll really increase your fame. Like, we can be famous together. Like, I was thinking more like hashtag King of the World, hashtag, great physician. Yeah. So anyway, let's go, Jesus. Where are we going? Come on, Jesus. I'm so excited. Aren't you excited? We're going to follow Jesus all together. Oh, Jesus. This is looking good. I love the excitement, enthusiasm of adventure. I totally love a new adventure. I'm like, oh, wherever you go, I want to go. That's where I want to be. Jesus. I mean, you're amazing. You know, like, oh, this is so awesome. Look at all these people I get to be around. Oh my gosh. Give some love. Give some extra love. Oh, you're so wonderful. You guys, this is so great. Isn't it good to follow Jesus? Yeah? Man, nobody's even awake this morning. All right, I think it's good to follow Jesus. But I'm not really sure about this neighborhood. I don't know. I know I said wherever. I said wherever, Jesus, but wait, who are you sitting next to, Jesus? I thought you loved me. Wait, I think he just gave me a dirty look. Wait. I don't know about these guys. I'm not really sure. Why do you have your arm around? You're loving on these people? I don't know about this neighborhood. I thought we were going somewhere better. Jesus, you're king of the world. You're king of all. I mean, why are we staying in a Motel 6, Jesus? I mean, really, Jesus, why? I thought it was going to be all like gourmet food and plush beds and like everybody would treat you like you are a superstar because you are. And everybody would love us and everybody would take care of us and it would be all good. This man had a glamorized view of who he thought Christ was. He came and he's like, wherever you go, Jesus. And he really was in it for the gains. You've seen this person, or maybe you've even been this person, and you've grown out of that place. The one that comes into church and signs up for every ministry on the card in the seat back in front of you and says, I want to be involved. I'll be there. I'll show up. I'm there. You'll see me at church every single week. No joke. I'm totally all in. And then 3 weeks go by, and they're MIA, right? They're missing in action. You're like, where did that person go? You have no idea. Where they disappeared to, because they were quick to say, I will follow. But when rubber meets the road, when it gets down to it, where was their heart really at? And no, Jesus didn't reject this man's offer or refuse him liberty to follow him. He just really wanted him to think about it for a moment. You know, sometimes in the church we're so like, yes, just say the salvation prayer. Just say yes to Jesus. But really it's about, where is your heart at? Is your heart really in it or not? I want you to count the cost, to really think what this means to be a follower of Christ. He wants this man to weigh the nature and the strength of his attachment. Will he be able to go through all seasons, through challenges, through difficulties? Because they will come. Challenges will come. And will he be able to hold on in that moment? It feels like Jesus is pushing him away, doesn't it? But that's not what he's doing. He says, I just want to ask you why. Why are you going to follow me? Why are you willing? What's there in your heart? Now, there are some disciples that follow Jesus for the food. You think I'm kidding, but no. You know, I mean, you know, there's some people that you know if you go out to lunch with or whatever, they'll take the bill. You know, you go to Starbucks. I got it. Walking with Jesus was a little bit like that. There'd be thousands of people hungry. And what would he do? He'd multiply bread and fish for 5,000 people. So what did they do? They're like, this is awesome. Like, right? Hello, someone making you meals? If you don't know how awesome that is, you don't cook, okay? So somebody like providing you food, and you don't pay your grocery bill, right? You know, like someone giving you provisions, you're like, they were like, let's make this man king. I mean, literally, they were like, let's make him in charge of everything. This is awesome. We don't have to work anymore. He just gives us food and provision. And Jesus knew what was in their heart, and so he moved away from them. We follow Jesus because of healing sometimes. God, if you just touch me. We follow Jesus because of popularity or the wider sphere of friends, people who seem more loving than people in this world. For reputation, maybe I'll seem like a better person if I follow Jesus. And what will that gain? What will the gains? Well, what will I get? And we have to check ourselves. And that's what I always say. You got to check yourself. You know, there's this statement, check yourself before you wreck yourself, right? And it's time as a church that we check ourselves. And that's what Jesus was telling this man. He's like, you got to check in with your heart. What makes you a follower? He will only have those follow him who are following him for himself. The advantages are there and they will come, but your heart has to be first connected to him. To follow is to be in relationship with him. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. Deny is to lose sight of one's self and one's interests, to completely forget about what's going on, what you are focused on, just yourself, and to focus on Christ. So he's telling this man, hey, are you ready to follow me through into some challenging times? You know, it's going to be like upside down of what this world thinks is successful. That these values are going to be completely turned around. Jesus said, hey, I have no place to sleep. The Son of Man has no place to lay his head. I have no home. Are you okay with that? Are you okay that I don't have a house that we can stop in that's full of goodies and riches? Because I don't even have a house to put goodies or riches in. Are you okay with the poverty of Christ, with letting it all go, all those treasures, all that stuff, so someone else can be made rich? Weigh it in your heart. Now, I know these words appear kind of harsh when we read them, but I'll tell you what, they're stern, but they're not harsh. Because there's a way that Jesus speaks, and it says the word of God, what does it do? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, and it pierces through soul and spirit. It divides right through. And there's a way that Jesus speaks, and he sees into the heart, and he speaks that word, and it divides right through into where the heart is. And he spoke words to the heart of this man. Are you really ready to follow? Everywhere. Everywhere. On days that seem good, on days that seem bad, are you really ready? That takes us to our second follower, the indisposed follower, the one that says, I will someday. This man wanted to follow Jesus. He was thinking, yes, I do, but maybe not just yet. He knew it was good. It was the right thing to do. He should do it. But he had good reason why not to do it. The previous man was too quick to say yes to Jesus. And now we have the one that says he's too slow to say yes to Jesus. And perhaps with reading this, you felt like a little pity for this man. And again, sounds like harsh words of Christ to say, hey, let the dead bury their own dead. When you have a sick father, some of us are like, oh my goodness, that's painful. Why would he say that? But do not fear. Christ is not without compassion. If you know the nature of Christ, you'll understand that whatever he speaks truth with love together, not separated out. So let's look at this. What was going on here? If this man's father had been dead, he would not have been on the road with Christ. He would be at home where mourners would be filling his home. He would do body preparation, right? And they'd be preparing this body for burial because in this time, they would try to bury within the day of the death. All right? So what is going on here is that this is an Eastern proverb that is being used. And the proverb was this: when I have buried my father, I will do so and so. It's our way of saying someday. Someday I'll lose some weight. Someday I'm going to go clean out that closet. And that's the same what he was saying here is, and someday I'm going to do so and so. When this happens, then I will be so and so. It was an idiom for waiting for his father to pass away so that he could be financially secure and have an inheritance. So he's like, when I have it all together, Jesus, when I think my road's going to be smooth, I will then come and follow you. He really did have an aged father. We're not denying that right here. But it was just saying, at a convenient time or at my leisure, I will be a follower of you, Jesus. And it pictures those who want Christ, but on their own time and on their own terms. And Jesus said, it's not up for contract negotiation. The excuses here are a sign of an unwilling heart. The one says, I'm following Christ in my heart, but then his actions show something different. And this is where self-deception has creeped into the church. Because we believe that if we obey in spirit, like in our heart, but we're only hindered from obeying the outward because of duty, we are doing the will of God. There's something in the way that's always preventing this kind of person. I will follow you, Jesus, but I've got family. Family time first, always, you know, and then, you know, or my so-and-so, my spouse, and like, serve you, I don't know. I would follow you, Jesus, but my job. It just takes so much time. It wears me out. I just need some me time. I mean, self-time's important. You know, reset, refuel. Jesus, I would follow you, but I'm not good enough yet. Let me get myself together. I don't know how that looks, but let me get myself together. And then, Jesus, I'll be ready for you and you'll be ready for me. I would follow you, Jesus, but you know, really, if I'm honest, I'm unhappy. And you want me happy, don't you, Jesus? I mean, even Pastors Caleb and Rachel did a whole happy series. And so, Jesus, I really want to, I'm just unhappy, but Jesus, I would follow you, but... And we have all these excuses. This is procrastinating devotion. There will always be something first, and it won't be Jesus. It's where in our hearts we say, allow me first too, but then the second never comes. Allow me first too, but then nothing else ever comes. We got to get rid of the buts. Tell your neighbor, get rid of the buts. I know I almost put this up on the screen this morning, but I didn't. But it's time to get rid of the excuses. The word but puts a negative on everything that went before. What he was really saying was, Lord, I will not follow you. Lord, if I'm really honest, you do what you need to do. You do what you want to do. And this is like, I mean, talk about heart check, you guys. I remember someone said that one time and I'm like, oh, ow, that's ow. It's like our amen, right? Like, you do what you actually want to do. You make excuses for everything else. I know that's, woo. You do what you want to do. Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Seek to be in a state which is acceptable to him. That means he gets to set that standard. And all these things will be added to you, will be increased or attached to you. This context, again, is about clothing and food and all the things the Gentiles seek. And he's saying, if you seek first, if you put the priority first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things are coming your way anyway. How many know that is a good thing? It's not an either or. You get both and. You get Jesus and everything else is added to you. Everything else that you thought you were giving up and losing, God's going to add it back to you if you'd seek first the kingdom of God. You seek to save your life, what happens? You lose it. But if you lose it for his sake, you find it. And so it's time to lose some things in order to find some things. I don't know, that sounds good. All right, amen. Jesus is saying to this man, don't wait. Don't wait. Let those who are already dead wait for the dead. You're going to go work, go proclaim the message of the kingdom, that God's kingdom has arrived. It's time that you start preaching, buddy. It's time that you go now, because faith is now. Faith is this moment, this day, not a future occurrence, not a future event, not a future day. But if you have faith, it says it's right now, right this moment, in this moment, right where you stand, right where you are right now. Faith is now. What you live now is what you believe. What you live right now, you guys, stay with me. I won't be long this one, I promise. I mean, you're going to be like, we're going to be done with this. And you're like, where did that service go? You won't even know. Jesus was here, and that's what you need to know. But you need to know that you live now. What you live now is what you believe. We're coming to believe for some reason. This is like taking hold of the body of Christ and trying to like uproot something this morning, where we've come to believe that if our heart's in the right place, it really doesn't matter if our lifestyle speaks something different. But he knows my heart. Oh, yes, he does. Listen to how he speaks to their hearts. I will follow you. All right, you ready for the challenge? Come follow me. Oh, not yet. No, right now. Now's the time. Now's the time. It is said, I love this statement, every person is a preacher, and every life a sermon. Not just the one with the microphone. Every person, all of you are a preacher. All of you are a speaker. Every life is a sermon. What sort of discourse are you making? What's your life message? Just as he told this man, hey, go preach the kingdom of God, I'm asking you today, as a follower of Christ, what's your message? What are you preaching? What's the faith that you're living now? What are the actions that you're doing? What are you after right now? What sort of message is being relayed to this world through your life? Come on, guys. Wake up. All right. And still yet another applicant. Are you ready? Number three. I told you, I'll be quick. Number three said, I am in. I'll be a follower of you, Jesus. I'll follow you too, but first, let me go back to my house, back to my family and friends, and say, sayonara? I don't know how to say it. Okay, goodbye. Say, see you later. Say goodbye. Adios. And then I will come follow you. This is the indecisive follower. The one that's wavering, that is irresolute in their decision. They're back and forth. Christ again speaks to the heart of the matter here, and he warned. He said, you're not going to go home. I mean, you're going to go home, and when you get home, you're going to put your slippers on. You're going to grab your fuzzy robe and a hot cup of tea, let your hair down, right? You're going to snuggle in on that couch with your loved ones or not, or your pet, FIFO. Fido, whatever, Fifi, and you're going to snuggle in on that sofa. You're going to turn Netflix on. And before you know it, you've watched, you know, that whole series. Next, I think I will. And you're not coming back. You're not going to even come back to me. And so here we have this man who, he had reluctance to break with his former ways, his former lifestyle. He's like, I will follow you, but first, let me deal with this past stuff, this other stuff, and then I'll come, Jesus. What was Jesus' response? Put your hand to the plow. And if you look back, you're not worthy of the kingdom of God. I understand this because I moved here when I was 16 years old to break with my past. I understand what it was like to go to church and to have those moments in God's presence. Thanks for a mom who would drag me to church even as a rebellious teenager. You know, but I'd have those moments sometimes, not all the time. Sometimes I was just goofing off in the balcony, you know, Capital Christian Center, huge, thousands of people in church. And I was just one of the goof off, fool around people, whatever. But there are times where I go to like a special meeting and there'd be, you know, an evangelist preaching and I'd give my heart to the Lord at the altar. Like, this is it. I'm serving Jesus. And my friend would be with me. And, you know, 2 days later at school, she'd be like, and where's that Jesus response? You know, you don't see it in your lifestyle, right? I'm like, whatever, whatever. And so when I was 16 and I came to visit my wonderful, you know, family that lived here, my cousins and my aunt and uncle, and I responded to Christ, I knew I needed a break with my past. And so my family let me move here and I settled in and I went to enrolled in Novato High School, but it was a complete break with who I was. I like my friends, new friends, new outfits. I mean, there are things I had to leave behind, people. Okay. You just don't wear that stuff. And there's things, you know, my tapes, you know, cassette tapes. Anybody? I had some records too, okay? So I was pulling those cassette tapes, ripping the tape out of them because I'm like, I will no longer, this will no longer be my music. This will no longer be my worship. And I'm like, I'm going to go and I'm going to serve Christ and I'm going to go into the adventure and I'm going to follow him. And so instead of experimenting with drugs, I began to experiment with the Holy Spirit and be like, God, what is it like for you to speak through me, to prophesy through me as a 16-year-old kid? What is it like to have a word of knowledge? Oh, God, what is it like to pray in a prayer meeting? I'm so nervous to be on a microphone. Oh, and I'm shaking it out. And like, oh my gosh, and the excitement and the joy of being in his presence was so much greater than anything this world could have offer. But I needed a clean break because if I'd gone back to Sacramento, I would have just gone back in my old ways, back in the mud, back in the mire, back in the junk, back with the old relationships, you know, and I wouldn't have stayed focused on the Lord. And so this is what they're saying here. This is what Jesus is telling us. You got to break up with your past in order to move into your future. Okay, guys, we're not so good at breaking up anymore. Come on. And I'm talking about just relationships. We, you know, text people, but then we cyber stalk them, you know, like social media stalk them. Like we like, I will no longer be your boyfriend or girlfriend, blah, blah, blah. And then we like watch everything they do on Facebook and Instagram and, you know how, okay, yeah. But we got to learn to break up with our past, right? We're trying to follow Jesus, but we're still in love with what's behind us. Jesus, I put my hand to the plow. I'm going after you, Jesus, but I'm still, oh, I like something back there. Back there. But Jesus, oh. You know, it's really like that. If you drove glancing back in your rearview mirror all the time, I'm not looking backwards. You can't tell, but I am. How well would you drive? Okay, I'll answer because nobody's yet awake. Not well. Not well. So here Jesus is saying, if you're plowing a field, you put your hand to the plow. A farmer, in order to keep the furrow, to keep the line straight, what would he do? He would mark a point in the distance and he would stay looking at that thing while he directs the plow that in that direction. No one going to plow would be a good farmer if he's plowing and going like, oh yeah, what's back there? Okay, okay, okay. And then tragedy is going to strike as, you know, I fall off the platform. But tragedy is going to strike as you plow that field because you are not making straight furrows, right? You're not accomplishing what you should be. And it's the same in following Jesus, that we were to keep our eyes on Jesus and not into our past. We got to put our hand to the work that Christ has given us and make a resolve in our hearts to be yoked with him as a disciple. And looking back speaks of the desire of the mind to go back to the world, to return to an old lifestyle. But it's time to leave it behind you. Time for a breakup. Time to break up. You with me? Break up with your past. You got one hand forward, one hand backwards. You haven't gone anywhere because you've been in this tug of war with your past and your present and your future. And you've been like, Jesus, I want you. But oh, that looks good back there. Oh, Jesus, I want you. And you're not going anywhere. You're not moving forward. You're talking about your past all the time. You're out with your buddies, and all that comes up is your past. It all comes up is like the things that happened to you 20 years ago. All that you talk about is the church split 16 years ago, seven, whatever how long ago it was. You know, all you talk about is, you know, that time you got divorced from so-and-so, and now they have three other kids and a spouse, but you haven't let it go yet. You're on Facebook wondering why you have no spouse yourself, because you haven't let the other one go. Okay, sorry, I'm preaching. You come to church, but on the outside, you go out, and nobody can tell that you're salt and you're light. There's no difference. Because you haven't let go. You're still in love with what's behind you, and you haven't really grabbed hold of the plow with Christ and moved forward into your destiny, because you're still pulling onto your past. James 4 tells us to stop being in a love affair with the world. So you're in spiritual adultery. If you're in love with the world, if you keep holding back to the past, looking back. It says God will give you grace necessary to break through that moment. Keep reading that chapter. Don't stop there. I know that sounds again harsh. But he says he'll give you the grace you need if you draw near to him. He'll bring you through. So he who looks back is unfit for the kingdom. It's time to break up with your past. God, cut it off. Cut it off. Not going back. Jesus.